Good morning, family.
Good morning.
So, wow. We're just going to start with prayer because, man, I don't even know where to begin this morning. All right? The Holy Spirit is going to rock your world in a couple minutes because he has been wrecking me all week long. I mean wrecking me. All right? So, Father, in Jesus' name right now, I come against any religious spirit in this room right now. I silence you in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask your Holy Spirit to come in and enlighten us to your word. Set us free and show us your word in power and strength this morning. And help us to receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Does everybody here, has everybody gotten kind of a revelation of grace? And when you saw it, you were like, how come I never saw that before? And you can't unsee it, not that you want to, but wow, why did I not see it, right? What we're going to do this morning is we're going to talk about the story where Jesus cursed the fig tree and he said, listen, if you tell your mountain to be cast in the sea and believe and don't doubt it to be done for you, we're going to talk about that this morning. But I'm going to be honest with you right off the bat. I have talked and talked and talked to many, many mountains. I've told them to be cast in the sea, and I had doubt in my heart, none. And I've seen a lot of mountains not move an iota of an inch. And I'm beating my head saying, Father, why do I have doubt? What's going on? Are you ready for the key to make sure that every time you speak to your mountain that you see it happen? Every time?
Yes.
Not just sometimes, but every time.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
I'm going to give you the key this morning that makes that possible every single time. And when you see it, in Jesus' name by the Holy Spirit, when you see it, it's just going to be just like grace. You're going to go like, why did I not see that before? When I get a message together, whether it's for healing school or class that I'm teaching, for at least the whole week before that class, I get up every day, I go over the lesson, and I just familiarize myself with it because I don't want to just teach out of the book. Even though God had me write it, I don't want to just read it. I want to be really familiar with it, right? So I can let the Holy Spirit just speak through me. The Holy Spirit has had me up at 4 a.m. most of this week. I didn't go to bed till 10:30, almost 11 last night, because I get off work at 9. I was still up at 4 o'clock this morning with the Holy Spirit just wrecking me because I wrote this thing, and every morning I get up and I go over it again, and he's just tearing my heart out and showing me new stuff, and just, I don't have any other way to put it than just he's wrecking me. And this is the key. Let God wreck you. Let him wreck any religious ideas you had. Let him teach you his word, so that you can see it come to pass. So, to give you the background story, after the triumphal entry, right? Everyone's Hosanna, Hosanna, and everyone's glad Jesus is coming. They walk by a fig tree, and it says, it makes a point, this is Mark chapter 11, it makes a point of saying that Jesus was hungry, right? And he saw a fig tree that had leaves. And if a fig tree had leaves, it should have fruit. So he walked up to that thing, and there weren't no fruit on it. And Jesus did a weird thing, right? He says, nobody eat fruit of you ever again. Now, was Jesus just being mean? I mean, what's that all about? There's no fruit on you, so nobody eat fruit of you ever again. Was there a place in the Old Testament, somewhere in the writings, where it said if you walk up to a tree and there's no fruit, you should curse it? No, right?
No.
So what's going on? Well, he was being mean. The title of this class is KISS, only I'm saying it, keep it super simple. Heal your heart, heal your body. Jesus had a purpose for cursing that tree. His purpose was he heard the Father tell him to do it. Let's read the rest of it. Mark 11:20. Mark 11:20 is where we're going to pick up. This is, okay, he cursed the fig tree. After he cursed the fig tree, do you know nothing really looked like it happened, right? Because nobody was like, wow, look, that tree just fell over dead, right? He cursed that fig tree and they all went on their merry old way. But it says the next morning, okay? Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said, hey, Rabbi, look, the tree which you cursed is withered away. I love him. He's always surprised at things that Jesus does, right? You think he'd be like, yeah, that's right. He's always surprised, though. He said, the fig tree that you cursed has withered from the roots. Don't you know that that fig tree's roots died the minute Jesus spoke it?
That's right.
Do you know Jesus didn't doubt it for a second?
That's right.
Even though it still looked alive, he just walked away. He knew that what he spoke from the Father was done. The others probably still weren't getting it, but he knew. And it says, so Jesus answered. I didn't hear a question, did you?
No.
In that, I didn't hear a question at all, but he says, but Jesus answered. He said to them, have faith in God. I'm sorry, that was verse 22, mm-hmm. Right? We're just moving along here. Have faith. Faith in who?
God.
Where does every supernatural thing, where does faith from it come, where it come from?
God.
Is that pretty clear? That's pretty simple, right?
Yeah.
Have faith in God. Not in yourself, in God. He said, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will what?
Have them.
You will have them. You don't always see it right away, right? Fig tree looked pretty normal till the next day. So when we pray, I had a chance to pray for an uncle. He's really a cousin, but an uncle that's just really been sick. Went to the nursing home, and the Lord told me to go and tell him he's walking out of there and pray for him. I told him what the Lord said, and I prayed over him, and he says, I hope so. I said, I know so. Because
right.
When the Lord tells you something, when Father tells you something, you know that you know that you know. There's no doubt in your heart.
That's right.
You go in there and you speak it and you expect it. I don't care that I didn't see him get up out of bed right now.
That's right.
He's walking out of there. But that's the key. What the faith comes from hearing from God. But we keep on doing that, right? We speak to our mountain because that's what the Word says. If you speak to your mountain, mm-hmm. Tell it be cast in the sea. Do you understand? Now listen, this is where you got to let any kind of religious idea of your theology just go away for a minute, okay? Listen, Jesus isn't saying as soon as you see something wrong, go speak to it and tell it be cast in the sea. That's your mountain. It's going to happen. What did he say? Have faith in who?
God.
In God. You need to hear what the Father is saying before you act. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity, created the entire universe. How? By speaking the Word.
That's right.
The Father had the thought. The Son spoke it out. The Holy Spirit made it happen, right? Not a single one of them worked without the other. Right? What Jesus is saying here is that, you know, sometimes we're speaking, we think we're speaking in spiritually, but we're actually carnal because we're not hearing first. We're not getting the entire Trinity involved in what we're doing. We're just thinking, okay, here's my theology. I'm going to speak to this mountain. Maybe you need to speak to your mountain, but maybe you need to speak to something else first. For instance, if it was written, if it was done the way it says that we think it is, Say I had a problem with my prosperity. I've been spending a lot of money. I'm not good with money. I've been charging, and I got a lot of debt. So I speak to my debt, in Jesus' name, debt be gone. Boom. I'm out of debt. What's going to happen? I'm going to get back in debt, aren't I?
Yeah.
Was God telling me to speak to my debt yet? Or was he telling me, go get some information about how to be better financially?
Yeah.
And then speak to it.
Yeah.
Right? Am I getting the cart before the horse? Right? Maybe there's something more important that God wants to talk about first. Remove this hill before you remove that mountain. Or if you get that mountain removed, it's just going to come back. Does that make sense? What he's saying here is that if you hear what the Father has to say about anything, and speak it out without doubt, it'll be done. Because when you hear the Father's word about anything, it creates faith in your heart that will not have doubt. So much so that if you spoke to a mountain and told it, be cast in the sea because the Father told you to do it, it will happen. Do you see what I'm saying? He wasn't saying, just go speak to your mountain. He's saying, speak to the Father. Hear what the Father has saying. I don't even care if it's a mountain that he tells you to be cast in the sea. If you say it, it's going to happen because the Father told you to do it. That's huge. That's huge. But we've been looking at this thing all wrong. We've just been doing it and looking at it as a recipe book. God doesn't want to work in recipes, because if he works in recipes, then you don't need him. God works in a love relationship. He wants intimacy with you. He wants things to evolve from intimacy, not from a recipe. Because if you can do it from a recipe, you don't need him. So let me break it down further. Why do we end up with doubt? Now, this is going to sound weird. Bear with me. I've told you, the Holy Spirit has been wrecking me all week long, and I hope I'm wrecking you this morning. No, I hope he's wrecking you through me. You've kind of got stuck on Jesus, but you've missed the message of Jesus. This can happen, okay? This happened to me. Man, I got saved. Wow, Jesus lit me on fire. I love Jesus. Jesus was a cool part of God that loved people. He healed people. He hugged people. He touched lepers. Man, you don't touch lepers. He hugged lepers. Sinful women. He loved them. I can connect to Jesus, but God scared me. God seemed to do scary stuff. Anybody with me on this? Right? How can I trust that God? How can I trust that? Jesus is the expressed image of God, the Word says. Whatever you saw Jesus doing was the Father doing. Every time Jesus healed, raised somebody from the dead, hugged a leper, it was the Father pouring his love out through his Son. We, being placed in Christ, are the conduit through which God loves people now. So we need to look at all those things in the Old Testament that don't seem to make sense to us, and we need to look through it through the lens of love. You know how you do that? Read about Jesus. And then look at that whenever you read anything about the Father. Because Jesus' message was about fatherhood, bringing you to the fatherhood of God. I'm going to take you deeper. I'm going to take you there. When we got born again, God came to live inside us, right? Anybody? Yep, we all got that? But what did the Word say that the Father did with us? He placed us in Christ. Right? So we have been included in the Trinity. The Trinity that created the entire universe and everything that there is. God the Father spoke it out. The Son spoke it out. The Holy Spirit made it happen, right? Now, okay? God the Father thinks it. Jesus and the church, we're one, right? Jesus and the church speak it out. Holy Spirit makes it happen. Can you see that? We are part of the Trinity and we have power with our mouth. When we hear the Father first, nothing works out of sync. In this love circle, one doesn't work without the other. Nothing got created without the Father thinking it, Jesus speaking it, and the Holy Spirit making it happen. Why do we think we can go around now and just think something up, speak it out, and make it happen? Because that verse said, if you believe it and don't doubt, it'll happen. We're getting things out of order, aren't we? We are part of the Trinity that says the Father speaks, the Father thinks it. Oh, I keep saying it. The Father thinks it. Jesus and the church, we speak it. The Holy Spirit makes it happen. Whew. This is rich. This is rich. If you get a hold of this, you will never not see something happen again because you'll hear it. And you'll have faith for it to happen. This was God's plan from the beginning, for us to be intimately intertwined. First John 5:11. And this is his testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is what? In his Son. Where is our life found? In Jesus. He and the church. Listen, you know what? Not everything written in the Gospels was written to the church. It was written, some of it was written to the Jews that were under the law. Some of it was written to just the disciples. Some of it was written to the church to see where we're coming from, where we're going to. But in Christ, there is no Jew. There is no Greek. There's no Gentile or Jew. There's no male, no female. We are one with Christ. If you're in the church, I don't care if you're not Jewish, you're still not a Gentile anymore. You're the church. You're the physical body of Christ. That's pretty deep. And our life is in Christ. John 17:3 says, and this is eternal life, that you may know, or that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life isn't just about going to heaven when you die. It's that we may know the one true Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And now we're all adults in here. Let me break something else down for you. That word know, that you may know the one true Father in the Greek, is kenosko. Does anybody know what kenosko means? It means intercourse, doesn't it? This is painting a pretty deep, intimate picture. Listen, you are never more vulnerable. You're never more open than during that kind of intimacy with your spouse, right? There is no more vulnerable state you could be in or open state you could be in. That is the ultimate intimacy.
I'm totally lost. And it's simply because, now you're saying before, if we really want to see the manifestations of, say, a healing, first I should ask the Father if this is something I should pray about before I pray about it. Is that?
Nope. What I'm saying is we need to wait and hear. We don't act separate from the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're part of the Trinity right now, right? So we don't act separate from that. We don't just go off on our own thoughts. We need to hear the Father's thought on it first. If that's how everything was created, right?
The Father's thought is that he wants us well, right?
Yep. And we know that, and that's good. But we need to, maybe he wants you to speak a specific word towards that healing. I'm going somewhere. Okay. We'll get you there. And if you don't understand it, then I'll talk to you more. Okay. So what he's saying is that, and this is the key to hearing from God, okay, is to have true intimacy with the Father. Now, Jesus' message was that we would know God as a Father, not as our judge, because in the garden something happened. Our image of God changed. Not God's image of us, our image of God. God became a judge to us instead of a daddy because of evil deeds. In Colossians it says that we became enemies of God in our own minds through evil deeds. Sin makes you feel like an enemy even though you're not. Okay? So Jesus' message was, your Father, your daddy in heaven loves you, and you need to be connected to that love so intimately that you hear his still small whisper. So that when you have that still small whisper in your ear and some sort of sickness is upon you, Doris, you hear what the Father says about it. Does my word say that you're healed? Speak this specific thing to that thing. Does that make sense? Something else comes up, whatever it is. Son, this is what I want you to do about that. Remember, it's in my word. He's not going to contradict his word. Everything he tells you is going to line up in his word. That's what the word's there for. It's to show us. Yes, you're speaking to your mountain. Yes, it's in the word. Yes, it's part of your theology. And yes, it's right. But you get the word first. Don't get into the flesh and start just speaking from things that you're hoping, but speak from things he's saying. That's what I'm saying. But the key is to understand and receive the love of God. 1 John 4, verse 7. 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows, kenosko, knows God. He who does not love does not know, kenosko, God, for God is love. So what it's saying is you can't love other people God's way if you're not intimate with him. You can't receive God's intimate love for you if you don't allow him, if you don't open yourself up and be vulnerable to receive his love. This is the kind of love that's going to make you hear what he's saying. And when you hear what he has to say, faith is ignited. 1 John 4:17. 1 John 4:17. This is another good one. This is another really good one. It says love, and that word love there is agape. You know what it says about agape when you look it up? It's a love feast. God's kind of love for you is a love feast. Woo, that's a party. So a love feast has been perfected among us in this, that you may have boldness in the day of judgment. You know what that word judgment means? I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit just showed me a bunch of stuff this week. It means decision. Yep. Decision. We're thinking we can have boldness on the day of judgment. When we go stand before God when we're dead and we're getting, you know, judged, we can have boldness because he loves us, and that's true. That's true. But this is saying you can have boldness on the day of decision. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in the love feast. In other words, what is it that is causing you to decide whether to believe God's love or the lie that your body's telling you? My body's telling me I'm sick. God's telling me I'm healed. Says it in his word. I'm hearing him tell me in my ear, I'm healed. But if I'm not receiving his love, am I really trusting him that it's for me? If you haven't received the Father's love, you'll always have doubt whether everything will work perfectly for you. Now listen, I understand we haven't all had good fathers in this world as an example of God's love. Some of us have been really hurt bad by father figures in this world. And that makes it hard for us to connect to him on a daddy level. What you have to do is just be honest with him and say, listen, I understand that I need to be open to receive you as a daddy, but I am afraid. I haven't had a good example. I don't understand it. I didn't understand God's love. Like I said, Jesus, yeah, got it. God scared me. Father took me all the way to Arizona from Michigan for a year so I could hear one message from one man about God's love that changed everything for me. It's huge. That's how important it is that we understand. And if you will allow God to touch your heart, tell him, I need to be open, I need to be vulnerable, I need to be intimate. Kenosko intimate with you, but I just can't do it. I need you to do something for me. If you take one step, he'll take the rest. You have to be willing. So I'm going to give you kind of a little bit of a religion test, okay? Because I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to, the Holy Spirit gave me Luke 15, 11, the parable of the prodigal son. Okay, we're going to go to the parable of the prodigal son. It's in Luke 15. And the Holy Spirit gave me a modern version of this parable. Okay? So, again, let's turn off our religious thoughts about this parable. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to teach us something new in a today version. I'm not taking away anything from the scripture. What everything it said was great. I'm just going to take you down another path, give you another parable inspired by the Holy Spirit that kind of reaches today a little better, okay? Everyone okay with that? Okay. I think all of us have seen ourselves as one of these two religious sons at one time or another. Maybe we'll see ourselves as one of these two sons today. But at the very least, we all know somebody that needs to be here to hear this, right? Is that how, right? When you hear something that kind of like sings in your ear, you're like, oh, I know somebody should be hearing this. Right? I don't know, I did. Many times I thought, oh, I wish this guy was here. Probably it's because I needed to hear it really good. Okay, Luke 15, 11. I'm going to read the portion from the word first, and then I'm going to give you what the Holy Spirit gave me for this, okay? Sound good? Then he said, starting at verse 11, a certain man had two sons. The younger son, the younger of the two of them, said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them, both sons, his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Okay? So we all know father is a representation of God, right? And again, Jesus kept on trying to get people to understand he's your father. See, these people wouldn't even write his name. They wouldn't write God, Yahweh. They would take a letter out. God is such a judge, they wouldn't even speak his name. Jesus said he's your father. That's why they wanted to kill him. How dare he? This is saying he's your father. The Father, God, had a church where he gave all their inheritance. That's everybody. The whole church. Do you know that if you're a part of the church, you've received the entire inheritance? It's all at your disposal? But there were two religious sons who didn't understand his love. So one of them, frustrated with religion, sick in his body and not receiving healing, even though he did all his religious duties, he said all the right things, but feeling like a fake or a hypocrite, he left and wasted the gift within him on worldly living. I can relate to this. This is my story. I got born again when I was like 8 years old. I knew God. By the time I was 12, I didn't want to feel like a fake. So many people in the church, because they don't see the things come to pass. They either feel like a fake. They don't want to fake it till they make it. And they don't want to be a hypocrite, so they just leave. Right? But when he spent all, and there arose a severe famine in the land, verse 14, he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But soon, living apart from the Father, and not even being around his blessings, it was like living in a dry place. So he sought comfort in other religions and the worldly living that went along with it. It was like feeding pigs with nothing for his spirit. Sometimes, you're just not getting everything, but when you're in church, you just feel something, right? You're around the blessings of God, you just can't help but feel something. It invigorates you. It needs to go deeper. And then when you're out, away from God, away from his blessings, you feel dry, barren. Verse 20, he arose and came to his father, but... Oh, 17. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and yet I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your servants. So when he became tired of not being fed with other religions and worldly living, he said to himself, I'll go back to my old church where at least I fed and felt comfortable in my religion. Right? I'll tell God I'm sorry and try to make it up to him by serving as much as possible so I can be fed a little and be around people who are being blessed. He arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, this tears me up every time. Man, this is so good. When he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven in your sight and no longer worthy to be called your son. Before he even got close to the church, still blocks away, and his image just a faint shadow. Man, the father who was patiently waiting for his return. Do you see the picture of God's love? It doesn't matter what you've done, how far you've gone. He's still passionately waiting for your return. And if he just sees you take a step in his direction, he's going to run the rest of the way to you. That is a deep, abiding love. That's not a God that's up there wanting to throw lightning bolts at you. That's a God that says, I choose to only see the best in you. I don't care where you're at right now because I know you. And I know that isn't you. Father God, who was waiting patiently for his return, saw him and ran joyfully out to meet him, showering his great love on him, surprising the religious son, who still didn't understand his father's love. He expressed that he was sorry and promised to work hard to be able to just hang out and receive some scraps. But the father said to his servants, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put the ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's eat and be merry, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. The father said, you don't understand. You are and will always be my son. You're clothed with a robe of righteousness. You wear the ring of my authority and shoes for walking in the gospel of peace. Let's have a party because this son of mine was dead to me in his own mind due to sinful living, but I never leave or forsake my beloved ones. Now we get to the other religious son. Seen myself here a couple times too. Boy, don't you hate it when you see yourself in some of these examples? Darn it. Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, so he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he's received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. The other religious son saw the father having a party for the returning brother and was beside himself with envy and anger and was considering leaving himself because this didn't seem fair. Dude, I have been speaking against this thing for years. This dude got saved yesterday and he got it. This other guy has been out just doing whatever. We knew him. He used to come to this church. He came back and he got everything I've been standing here waiting on all this time, and he got it. Doesn't seem fair. Right? Therefore, the father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I've been serving you, I've never transgressed your commandments at any time. Right. Right? Come on. That's religion. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours comes, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. He explained to his father that he has been serving him perfect in his religion all along and has never gotten anything for his efforts. But this one that's a sinner and comes back and he receives all your blessings, healing, yet I'm still sick, prosperity, yet I'm still buying pizza with my friends, and you rejoice with him and have a party. And he said to him, son, you're always with me and all that I have is yours. He says, son, you're busy doing everything you think you're supposed to do to win my approval, gain healing and prosperity, but you're missing that I love you based on my love for you and not for your work for me. All that I have is yours for the taking because of my love for you as my son. Healing, prosperity, peace, joy, righteousness are always yours for the taking, and I am glorified when you do. It was right that we should make merry and be glad because your brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. So I have a question for you. The younger brother that left and came back, when did he repent? Anybody? You might be thinking, I know you're afraid to answer because you're like, I don't know, Johnny's doing just so many weird things today. You might think in your heart, he repented when he decided to go home, right? Because he turned around.
He just went home to get a meal.
Absolutely right. He repented when he received the ring, the robe, the shoes, the party. He repented when he received the Father's love. And what did he receive? Healing. He's been out sick. Healing for his mind. Healing for everything that salvation has. He received when he received the love of the Father. So we have a story here of two religious people. One who left and came back and received everything because he received love, and one that never left but was never really there. Jesus was trying to get them to understand. It's not about a recipe. Everything the Father has given you is yes and amen. But don't make a recipe out of this. Don't replace intimacy with the Father because he's your good, good Father. Don't replace that with a recipe. You can't do it apart from the Father. Be open. Be vulnerable. Be intimate with the Father. Worship the King. Jesus, praise his name. I have opportunity to be intimate with the Father because of Jesus. Jesus is my everything because he and I are one. We're the same. I have everything he attained because I was placed in him. It's all about Jesus. Hear my heart. It is all about Jesus. But Jesus had a message for his church. It's about having faith in who?
God.
Have faith in your good daddy. Be intimate. Open yourself up to him. Receive his love. Receive his healing. Receive his promise. When you're intimate, you hear his still small voice. And when he speaks, you know that you know that you know. Because that's what Jesus did. Right? The disciples tried to cast a demon out of a kid. It didn't happen. Guy fell down on the floor, started flopping around. They're like, well, that ain't working this time. And what's going on? It's not working. Because they were going by what they saw, right? They brought him to Jesus, and Jesus said, get out of him. He wasn't moved by what he saw. He knew that when he spoke, it was done because the Father said to do it. Now, you might hear something from the Word. You might read from the Word, and faith may ignite from that Word because God speaks to us through the Word, doesn't he? Now, you may have some sort of physical ailment, and you may read, speak to your mountain, and don't doubt in your heart, and it'll be done. Okay? Don't get me wrong. And if that's what you hear all of a sudden, faith ignites from that verse, then you speak to that mountain, expect it to be done, because it's in the Word, and God won't speak apart from his Word. Right? I mean, he's not going to say anything to contradict it. So faith can happen from the Word like that. But I'm saying don't limit it to just that. Make room to hear his voice, and you will never miss it. When he speaks, faith is ignited. You'll never miss it. Whether it's he's speaking through the Word, through a verse, and you hear his Word through that, or if he's speaking a still small voice in your ear while you're just off worshiping or something. Listen, this is a lifestyle that you are going to have to unplug from the world. I'm telling you, I'm addicted to the news. No. I was addicted. I get up every morning, I turn on the news because I want to know what's going on. Do you know, the Father told me, you got to stop watching the news, Johnny. You get a, you know, maybe you can click in for a second or two here and there just to see if anything important happened, but you need to stay away from the news. Do you know, I have a hard time loving people when I see the goofy things people are doing on the news. I have found myself watching almost no TV lately. You know why? It doesn't feed my soul. Wow. I want to be wrecked by the Father. I want to be wrecked by the Holy Spirit. I want to be wrecked by Jesus. I want to hear his voice in every single circumstance for my life. I want to be available when he says, go pray for your uncle that's by death's door. I want to be available when I'm with a customer and God says, this person needs to know about my love. He needs you to pray. I want to be available. If I'm not being intimate with the Lord, but I'm being intimate with the world, I'm not going to hear it. I'm going to walk around speaking to my mountains, and my mountains are just going to look at me and laugh because I'm not hearing. Can anybody in here be honest enough to say, I want to be more intimate with the Father, but it's been tough for me? Prayer ministers, if you come up. Listen. You need to receive the Father's love. It's the key. The key to everything he has for you. You need to be able to receive it so you can hear from him. I want to pray for you. And then, if anybody wants to just step out and come get more prayer, just be honest. Father, I need to know you in a deeper way, and I don't know how. I guarantee you. Man, I hope he doesn't take you across the country, but he might. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you so much for being a good daddy. Father, just wreck our hearts for you. Lord, I just pray a blessing over every single person in this room right now. Lord, that they would be open to being vulnerable to you. Lord, that whatever is holding them back, whether it be bad examples of a father figure, whether it be a hurt from the past, whether it be worldly things that are stealing your joy and your love from them, whatever it is, break through, Father. Give them the heart to run to you and just ask to take the first step and then break through with the other steps. If there's 100 steps, I know you'll take the 99. Bring them to that place, Father, so that they can receive your healing. They can receive your prosperity. Receive every promise that's yes and amen. They can hear your still small voice. That it'd be exciting to get up in the morning, not because they need something from you, but because they just want to say, good morning, Daddy. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Jesus. Man, can we spend some time together? Lord, wreck our hearts. Heal our hearts in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Man, I encourage you, if there's any doubt, if there's anything that's holding you back, come get prayer.